I would understand.
Thank you for doing the low part.
You're welcome.
Hi, podcasters.
Hello, podcast listeners and Robert.
And Robert.
Who is actually our in-studio audience today.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Hi.
Yay!
Wow, that was like an harmony.
Yeah.
Good job, team. That was, yeah.
We are synced up and ready to go.
Woo!
Podcasters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to start off with, we have created a new segment called Things Carrie and Emmy Forgot in the last episode. So, Things Carrie and
Emmy. I believe this is called the Remember-All segment.
The problem is I can't remember what I've forgotten. We should have a Remember-All. That should help us out
so
much.
Fun fact, in the movie, do you know what he's forgotten in that scene?
Wait, it's like his robe or his
tie. Yeah, he's not wearing his cloak.
Ah!
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Huzzah.
Because in the book, you don't actually know.
Right, but in the movie, they're like, hey, he should actually probably be forgetting something.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Remember-All session number one of what should probably be number four, but it's fine. So, if you recall from the last podcast, Ron and Hermione and Harry are like, they've just started their adventure. That's where we ended last time.
Right.
However, as I was listening to the podcast today to, like, remember where we were, figure it all out, I realized that I was like, hold up. Molly Weasley is upset that they're not going back to Hogwarts.
Right.
And I was like, aren't people going to realize they're missing from Hogwarts? And
right.
I was like, oh, that's right. They took precautions against this.
Because, so Harry has now become, the ministry has been infiltrated to the point at which Harry is now undesirable number one.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted for questioning in the death of Albus Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
What?
Are you gonna... Because witnesses saw Harry running from a scene from which,
Dumbledore fell.
Dumbledore fell, and then there's something else, like, when he was by the body or something.
Yep. Yeah. So basically, the ministry, which as we know has been infiltrated by a few dark wizards and will be progressively infiltrated, has turned against Harry Potter.
So yeah.
It's very dangerous to be Harry Potter right now. There's like 1,000 or 10,000 galleon reward on his head. Like something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more than 1,000, because 1,000 is what he got for winning the Quidditch Cup.
I was gonna say, I feel like it's at least 10,000.
Yeah, I think it's 10,000. Okay. So basically millions, probably, I'm pretty sure. So what 10,000 galleons is?
Galleons are gold, so
yeah.
The size of hubcaps somehow.
Right. Somehow. Carry it around and buy things with it.
Right.
That's why. So Harry Potter's family goes into hiding, right? Aunt and uncle and Dudley.
Right, which we covered.
Right. But the concern is that Death Eaters and the Ministry, knowing that Hermione and Ron are Harry's closest friends, will come after Hermione and Ron and their families.
And the issue is that Hermione and Ron, like, actually love their families.
Right.
And would prefer them not to be tortured.
Right.
Slash killed.
Right. By either the Death Eaters or the Ministry.
Or Ministry,
right.
Or Voldemort.
Right, or anyone involved in that sort of...
Or really
anybody. Generally, yeah, no torture or death by anyone.
No one.
Not even, like, adorable little bunnies. Still don't want it.
I was gonna go puppies, but yeah.
Yeah.
Unless the torture by bunnies is like, you must pet me.
That'd be a good way to die.
Would be. Anyway.
I would like to register for that one. If they take registration for death.
Do you take applications? Because I have a few ideas.
I feel like that should be, you know, if we're going to keep the death penalty, you can choose how you're going to die, and I would like to die by bunny.
Okay.
This took a dark turn.
Real
dark.
Especially because I'm pretty sure you just... Yeah.
Confess that... I'm worthy of the death penalty?
Yeah.
You know, I've broken a lot of hearts in my time. And I feel like that's...
You go around with your jar of hearts.
That's right. Who do I think I am? Running around leaving scars, collecting my jar of hearts.
Oh, this is enjoyable. Okay, so...
I don't know where to go with this.
Rod and... We're just gonna break
Thank
off
you.
From that. There's not gonna be any
no,
transition.
No, there's no coming back.
No smooth transition.
No,
we're just gonna
moving
break.
Moving on.
So, Rod and Hermione want to protect their families.
Right.
So, Ron... I don't know if we've covered this in other books.
We never have.
Okay. There is a ghoul living in the Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
that you can hear in Ron's bedroom. Like, it's, like, in the attic, and you hear it, like, wailing sometimes, I think.
Yeah, ghouls are not quite as cool as ghosts, but they're similar in the sort of, like...
But they have, like, physical noises. Form.
Right, though. They do have physical form, unlike a ghost.
Right. So, Ron,
Hence the different names.
Right. So... Because they're different things.
Whoa.
I know. So Ron performs some magic on the ghoul to make it have red hair.
I believe Fred and George help.
Fred and George do help. Mm-hmm. Ron also dresses him up in his pajamas and tells the ghoul that once Ron leaves, like, to go on this adventure thing, that the ghoul can live in Ron's room with the notion that, when Ron doesn't show up at Hogwarts, his family is going to say that he has spattergroit, which is a disease kind of thing.
Affects the face.
A sickness.
Yes.
I always kind of pictured, like, a really bad form of chicken pox kind of a deal. And it's
only,
like...
Only, it's external and internal, because eventually it spreads to your uvula.
Yeah.
Because then you can't talk. That's right. Why it doesn't matter that the ghoul can't speak.
Right. So when people, so like, if anyone comes is, like, to... the Weasley house being like, where is your son?
Yeah.
They can show him to Ron's bedroom where the ghoul will be, and it's an awesome plan because A, spattergroit kind of looks like what a ghoul looks like, and B, it's super contagious, so no one's going to want to get super close to realize it's a ghoul.
Right.
And C, the ghoul's super stoked to live in Ron's room.
I don't know exactly. I don't think they cover exactly what the story is with ghouls, like why they live in houses, but they appear to be somewhat undesirable, but not something you can get rid of.
Right.
So, I think the ghoul's excited.
Yeah. So that's Ron's plan. Hermione's plan.
Which
plan
does get covered
sad.
In the movie, although...
Well...
Not quite as efficiently as it does in the book.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, it's just like, okay, she removes herself from her parents' memory. But even more so, to protect her parents from the Ministry and Death Eaters, she changes their memories, modifies their memories so much that not only do they not remember having a daughter, but they don't even remember who they are. She gives them new names, which I don't remember their names of, and
they move to Australia.
But their one passion in life has always been to move to Australia.
Yeah.
So that's where they go. Which, if you really think about it, is sort of this clever play on, like, criminals from Britain get sent to Australia kind of thing. So I felt like it was maybe not a good, like, Madagascar would have been better, but what do I know? I'm not the brightest witch of my age.
So that's kind of super sad, because Hermione just deletes herself from her family.
She's pretty sure she can reverse the curse, though. Or the spell.
Right.
Yeah. She's just
I thought there was something about how, like, she goes there after all the stuff.
J.K. Rowling has confirmed in a interview that Hermione did go to Australia, locate her parents, and lift the curse.
Okay.
Or whatever it's technically called.
Spell. If Hermione makes it through.
Right, which we don't know.
If she's alive at the end of the book. She's alive at the end
she's
of the
totally
book.
She's totally alive at the end of the book. If you haven't seen the movies, she's alive at the end of the book.
Yeah. So,
That's our remembrall.
So that's our remembrall. This ends the portion of Carrie and Emmy's remembrall.
At the moment.
Thank you for joining us. Okay,
so
last podcast we ended. They were in
yes, it's Grimmauld Place time.
They're in Grimmauld Place,
Carrie's favorite place, maybe one of her favorite places.
Well, yeah, well after Hogwarts, probably.
Obviously,
but it's number two.
Mm.
Although Mrs. Black really puts us. No, the Burrow.
Yes,
Carrie.
Yeah,
the Burrow is two.
I have a question.
I have an answer. Maybe.
I mean, spoiler alert, Harry makes it to the end. Right? The book's been out for 10 years, guys. if you didn't know.
I'm sorry. Oh, that was funny.
Has it been out for 10 years? I feel like it's been that long, or close to.
I was in...
2007.
Almost.
Close enough.
I was going to say I was a junior or senior in high school.
I'm rounding up.
To the nearest next odd number.
Yeah. Book's around for 10 years. Harry lives. So he owns Grimmauld Place, right? It's been passed to him by his uncle.
By his godfather.
That guy.
Right. I was like, uncle. Sorry.
Whatever.
Semantics.
As if this is important. ever go live there, or does he just, like, give it to a pureblood and be like, here, have this house with a screaming woman in it? Because, like, I wouldn't want to live there. They go to Grimald Place right now because it's, like, the only place they have to go. But, like, who wants to live there with Mrs. Black screaming every time you come in the door?
I feel like he lives there. I want him to live there.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. I want him to live there, and I want him to clean it up and have it be, like, a happy place
now. But, see, I think that's what happens. And I feel like if anyone can get a frickin' Mrs. Black off the wall, it's Harry Potter.
But they weren't able to get her off.
I know, but I feel like she should.
All right, fine. He has a philosophical talk with her about how her pure beliefs are antiquated and unsubstantiatable.
Well, I feel like maybe with the
creature,
right?
But she's also able to live. No. Okay. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. So they're in Grimald Place.
They're in Grimald Place.
Do we want to look up the letter?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So while you're doing that, I'll. So, if
Harry freaking Potter.
When we last left our hero, Harry Potter, he had woken up in Grimald Place to Ron and Hermione holding hands in their sleep, and Harry feels super alone, and so he decides to wander around the house a little bit. So he goes upstairs, he's walking around.
Yeah,
and he sees a door. He first goes into the Sirius's, right?
Yep, he goes to Sirius. Yeah, that's where
he sees a door that says Sirius's room, and he's like, "What?" And then goes in there, which apparently he never like explored when he was in Grimald Place before.
Well, I mean, when Sirius was alive, he wouldn't kind of just be like, "I'm gonna go have a look at my uncle's,"
I suppose,
bedroom.
So he goes in there and he laughs because, it's clear that that Sirius is, like, subverting the, like, pure blood Slytherins in his household, because there's Gryffindor junk everywhere on the walls. Like, all of these banners and, all the stuff that, or that he has up. And he also has a picture of him and James.
All four of them.
There's all four of them. Mm-hmm. Him, James, Lupin, and Peter Pettigrew, all, like, hanging out, and Harry wants to try and take the picture, Sirius, in his rebellious teenage years, has put, a, like, sticking charm on everything in his room so that it has to stay up, because it's pretty clear that his parents would have not enjoyed a Gryffindor in their household. It's also super messy. There's paper and stuff everywhere, all that kind of stuff.
It looks like it's been searched. Like, messy searched.
Yeah, like, people have been in there, like, yeah. And so Harry's kind of poking around, and he finds a letter.
Letter says, "Dear Padfoot, thank you for Harry's birthday present. It was his favorite by far. 1 year old and already zooming along on a toy broomstick, he looks so pleased with himself. I'm enclosing a picture so you can see. You know it only rises about 2 feet off the ground, but he nearly killed the cat, and he smashed a horrible face Petunia sent me for Christmas. No complaints there. Of course, James thought it was so funny, says he's going to be a great Quidditch player, but we've had to pack away all the ornaments and make sure we don't take our eyes off him when he gets going. We had a very quiet birthday tea, just us and old Bathilda, who's always been so sweet to us and who dotes on Harry. We were so sorry you couldn't come, but the order's got to come first, and Harry's not old enough to know his birthday anyway. James is getting a bit frustrated to shut up here. He tries not to show it, but I can tell. Also, Dumbledore's still got his invisibility cloak, so no chance of little excursions. If you could visit, it would cheer him up so much. Wormy was here last weekend. I thought he seemed downed. But that was probably the news about the McKinnons. I cried all evening when I heard. Bathilda drops in most days. She's a fascinating old thing with the most amazing stories about Dumbledore. I'm not sure he'd be pleased if he knew. I don't know how much to believe, actually, because it seems incredible that Dumbledore..." And that's the end of the page.
Yep. And so Harry's like, incredible that Dumbledore..."
Well, first of all, it's a letter from his freaking mother.
Right.
And he just is like, oh my... Like, she's written about, like, it's his first tangible experience of his mother, like...
And he's like, he's like, "So, apparently when I was little, I got a toy broomstick from Sirius. Apparently I had a pet cat. My parents were friends with this person named Bathilda who knew something about Dumbledore."
Well, Bathilda is the one who writes History of Magic.
Oh, right, he does know that.
He knows that. And then also...
I remembered at this point or not.
Yeah. Bathilda has apparently been a resource for Rita Skeeter in her writing of the new biography on Dumbledore. And, so she knows things about Dumbledore that apparently no one else knew.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which Harry would like to know. And so Harry's, like, rereading the letter, like, trying to think of more stuff. or trying to get more meaning out of it, and he can't. And then he starts trying to find the rest of the letter.
Right.
And he can't.
He finds the picture. But it's been torn. He finds the picture, and it's been torn. It's just him zooming along on a broomstick.
And you can see legs running after him.
Yep.
That he assumes are James's.
Yep.
Which they are James's.
Yeah.
James's.
Yep.
And so he's kind of, like, he's, like, in the room, and then, he hears Ron and Hermione freaking out.
Yeah.
And they're, like...
He can't find the second sheet of paper.
Oh, yeah. He can't find the rest of the letter.
He's lost.
No, so, no Ron and Hermione are like, Harry! Like, and he's like, hey, I'm over here. And they're like, dude, you cannot wake up and then just randomly leave.
And go wandering around.
Because we're pretty sure that, Voldemort has come and snatched you or something. Like, you can't leave, like, you can't do this to us. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. And so they kind of hang out in Sirius's room for a while, and then they go to the rest of the house?
Yeah, they talk a little bit about the fact that Mathilda Bagshot may know things about Dumbledore that are unsavory, and Harry wants to know the truth about Dumbledore, because he's apparently heard from Ron's terrible Aunt Muriel that, that Dumbledore was not so great, and he wants to know the truth.
Right.
So they go, they're about to go get some breakfast, I think, and, as they're walking out, Harry sees a sign on the door across the hall that says, "Do not enter without the express permission of Regulus Arcturus Black."
Arcturus,
yes. Regulus Arcturus Black. And
I just heard Emma Watson say it in my head.
Thank you. Perfect. So maybe we should hear everything.
There was something the other day that I was like, for some reason I just heard that in Emma Watson's voice. I don't remember what it was. But I was like, that's neat.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're like, oh my god,
so Harry's like, hey Hermione, and she's like, yeah, what's up, and he's like, I just like totally switched their voices, anyway,
it's fine,
Hermione's like, what's up, and Harry's like, I think I just found RAB, and Hermione's like, what now,
mm-hmm.
And Harry's like, let's think about this, there's a door in this place that's Regulus Arcturus's Black's
mm-hmm.
place, right? RAB. And Sirius's family, we know, have always been really tied to purebloods.
Yep.
Same as Voldemort. They're always Slytherin. Same as a lot of Death Eaters in Voldemort. Yeah. Like, me, you know, this is probably the dude.
Yeah, and I think Sirius apparently told Harry that when Regulus joined up, like, he was the pride of the family, but
yep.
then he tried to leave, and the Death Eaters killed him.
Yeah.
So.
And
that
he's
fits.
Yeah. So they're like, I think I just found an RAB. And Hermione's like, woohoo! And then...
So they search the room looking for the locket.
They search
the real
room.
Locket, remember? Because there was a fake locket in the basin, so Dumbledore died for no good reason.
True.
Upsetting.
And also, they marked the differences between Sirius and Regulus. So Sirius's room was covered in Gryffindor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Regulus's room was obvious. He was a very proud Slytherin. It's
mm-hmm.
covered in Slytherin stuff. I feel like it's also neater.
I think you're right.
Than Sirius's room. Maybe that's just
not really. It's
in
also
my
been
head.
Searched, so it's just sort of yeah. It's also been searched and things have been turned over and dug through. And they can't find the locket in the house.
Yeah. So yeah.
And they're basically like, well, Hermione says, well, the locket could still be somewhere in the house. Like, we know that he took it from Voldemort and he would have tried to hide it somewhere. And we remember, like, there was tons of terrible stuff here, so maybe we just didn't recognize the locket, and she trails off. And
yeah.
they're like, Hermione, are you okay? And she's like, there was a locket. And they're all like, oh, shit, yeah. Sorry, dollar square jar.
If you recall Merlin's... from our Book 5 podcast, they were cleaning out a bookshelf,
mm-hmm.
or a cabinet kind of thing, and we told you that they cleaned out a locket.
Yep. Nobody could open it, so they were just like, whatever, this is rubbish, and they threw it away.
It was a Horcrux.
It was totally a Horcrux.
Yeah. So they're all like, well, that's cool. And then Hermione is like...
I think so.
Is like, hey, but...
Nope, Harry.
Okay, never mind. Harry is like, hey, but creature, that house elf that I own,
mm-hmm.
was stealing stuff back when we were trying to
right.
throw it away. Maybe he stole back the locket.
Right.
How can we find this out? oh, I have power over creature right. and can make him come here.
Infinite power.
Hey, creature, get over here. And then there's a crack, and creature appears.
Yep.
Because creature, he's been working in Hogwarts.
Right. Where Harry sent him so he wouldn't go off to the Blacks and tell them what was going on. Or go off to the Malfoys. So, creature is like, traitors, mudbloods, and Harry's like, no.
Knock that
you
off.
You're gonna, I'm gonna answer, ask you a question, and you will answer it truthfully. And he's like, and he says, did you steal the locket back? And creature's really quiet. And he's like, yes.
Yeah. And Harry's like, okay.
Great.
Kick ass.
Where is it? Get it for me. And he's like, no, it's been stolen.
Yep.
And he starts, like, sort of crying, or, like, he gets really upset. And Harry's like, where is the locket? And there's a lot of shouting. And then creature finally tells him that Mundungus Fletcher stole all of it!
Yeah.
Mundungus Fletcher took all of the important things.
So, what happened is, once the order left Grimmauld Place and stuff, Mundungus Fletcher came back and rifled through everything. That's why Sirius and Regulus's rooms are so screwed up.
Yep.
And took anything that seemed of value,
mm-hmm.
Including the locket.
Mm-hmm.
And
so the creature gets really upset and, like, starts crying about how he failed in his orders and starts trying to beat himself up with a poker. And Harry forbids him to hurt himself. Because if you remember, when an elf has violated their master's orders, they have to hurt themselves.
Yep.
So he says, like, okay,
and Harry's having none of that.
Yeah. Tell me what your orders were that you've apparently, tell me everything you know about the locket. You're like, okay, well, Master Regulus signed up with the Dark Wizards when he was 16 and we were all really proud of him. There's an interesting parallel here that I had not thought of before. Who else signed up with the Dark Lord when he was 16?
Draco Malfoy.
Hey! Who is also from, or has a family connection.
And long line of Slytherins, long line of purebloods,
right.
And is trying, or and is kind of the pride of the family because
right.
he does so.
Uh-huh. But then, about a year later, Master Regulus comes to Creature and, like, calls him quietly and says that the Dark Road requires an elf. And Creature's like, meh, but goes with him, and he's given over to Voldemort, and Voldemort takes him to this lake. And Harry can kind of, like, as Creature's describing it, Harry can see it. And, he has to drink. So they ride the boat, Voldemort and Creature, to the center of the lake, and he has to drink all the potion, and it's just awful, awful,
he
terrible
sees
suffering.
Terrible things.
Yeah. And, and then he's left there, and Voldemort sails away. And, Voldemort puts something in the basin, fills it back with liquid, and then sails away. And, so then Creature starts talking. Yeah, Creature talks about how the Inferi were attacking him and everything, and then came back.
Regulus comes back and...
Right. Well, no, Creature, and then, Creature's just like, and I got dragged under the surface and everything was awful and I was drowning and he just kind of trails off. And Harry says, how did you get back here? And Creature says, Master Regulus told Creature to come back.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's like, yes, but like, how did you escape the Inferi and get out of this terrible, terrible thing? And the creature just keeps looking at him and going, well, Master told me to come back. And he's like, what? And Hermione's like, Harry, not important. just move on. And so the understanding is basically that the boat can only carry, like, could carry a wizard and an elf.
It can carry one...
Wizard.
One magical person.
Yes, right.
So it's not a weight barrier, it's like a magical ability barrier. That's why both Dumbledore and Harry are able to sail there, because
mm-hmm.
Harry is not of age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, after a while, Regulus hides Creature and tells him, like, you can't, like, the Dark Lord can't know that you survived, because apparently he's not supposed to.
Well, Creature can't know
right
that,
about the lake.
Yeah. That's a liability, my friends.
Right, which is why Voldemort left him to die, not anticipating that he apparently can get out of the lake, because how would Voldemort know? He didn't grow up in a pureblood family. He doesn't have experience.
And he's not going to think that a freaking house elf
right.
can save himself.
Right.
I mean, he's a house elf, and in
right.
Voldemort's mind, yeah.
Right. And so then, go ahead.
So, okay. Side note, my mom sent me this article about this woman who is rewriting the Harry Potter series to have Christian morals in it, which is awful. And I had, like, 7 points of why it's just a terrible idea and why, like, I will defend Harry Potter to my death.
But it's really atrocious where it's basically just, like, Harry comes to, like, Harry accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior. It's not Christian values. It's explicitly, it's not values, it's, like, explicitly beliefs.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the, oof, and the extreme gender roles that are, ugh. Anyway.
Gross.
Like, somehow Dumbledore becomes a reverend.
Yes,
and Hermione is his daughter for some reason.
Of course she is.
And there's this part that I read, which I could barely even stomach, where Dumbledore tells Hermione to show Harry his dormitory, and Hermione says, "Yes, but shouldn't I clean the kitchen first?" And I was like, and then the Reverend Dumbledore's wife says, "Oh no, I'll do that before I go to bed." And I'm like, "Why is this happening?" Anyway, so
it's disgusting.
It's awful, but. One of my defenses, which was kind of ridiculous, but it's in my, like, I was like, no, this is going to happen, was that it teaches the value of love.
Right.
Harry Potter teaches the value of love and, youth, and that these are both things that, it, like, the whole Bible, but especially Paul, can definitely get behind. And I had this whole, like, thing, and then I was like, Carrie, this, you're taking this too seriously. But anyway, I just thought of that.
But I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Because, yeah, that's what Voldemort tragically underestimates, youth and love and...
And it leads to his downfall.
Non-wizarding folk.
Right.
So, like, anybody who's, like, he underestimates mudbloods and muggles and non-human creatures. So.
So, anyway, that was my side rant for the seminarian in me. So Creature's telling the story.
Regulus asks Creature to take him to the lake. He goes to the lake. Does he feed Creature the liquid?
Yeah.
I think so.
Regulus makes Creature drink the liquid again. I'm fairly
no!
sure.
No! Wait.
Or, is this when... Oh,
I don't know. It doesn't actually say who drank. Oh, no.
No, he...
Regulus drinks all the potion.
Regulus drinks... And doesn't he drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets dragged underneath by the Inferi. And basically... And tells Creature switch the... He tells Creature switch the lockets and never tell anyone what's happened.
And destroy the locket.
Yeah, and destroy the real locket.
Yeah. So Creature knows actually what happened to Regulus.
Mm-hmm. When no one else does.
Yeah. And it's a horrifying story. Mm-hmm. But one that I think is... It's nice to see another redeemable character in the Black family.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know that, like, Sirius's brother was also...
And was very strong-willed, considering he finished the potion. Like, Dumbledore didn't want to. Harry had to force-feed him.
And you have to imagine that Regulus saw some pretty terrible things. Like, he had to be reliving awful things. Like,
yeah. Or experiencing, or visioning, or I don't know.
Right. So then Harry's like, well... Oh, and then Creature says that, but I couldn't destroy the locket.
Yeah.
And
he just cries
I couldn't figure it out. And so he's just weeping a lot.
Yeah.
I think Hermione tries to comfort him.
He freaks out.
She
touches him, and he's like, ah!
Yeah, and I enjoyed that. And Harry's like, hey, don't do that. And then,
And then basically Creature cries a lot because he couldn't fulfill Master's orders.
Yep.
And Harry basically is like, okay, when you're done. And so after a while, Creature kind of sits up and he says, listen, I want you to find Mundungus Fletcher, get the locket, and bring it back here to us. And we're going to fulfill Master Regulus's mission and we're going to destroy it. And Creature is, like, happy for the first time that they've ever seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, and Harry says, here, you can have Regulus's fake locket. And the elf just loses it. Like, Creature just freaking loses it and starts weeping and, like, hugging Harry's feet. And, basically, it's just, like, finally they've come to an understanding with Creature.
Yeah. So... Which, can we just talk? Well, we'll get
those. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we could talk more about how a creature transforms.
Over time?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean,
let's do it.
Okay.
Because well, that's one of the most important scenes that's left out of the movie.
So here's the, yeah, this.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So during this period of time, when Creature first appears, he's like dirty and mm-hmm. he's really surly and angry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's calling Hermione all kinds of names. And Harry's not treating him well. Like, he's fine, but he's not, you know. And Hermione's like, hey, maybe we should treat Creature better.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry's like, what? And she goes, well, like, Creature really liked Mrs. Black and Regulus.
Right.
Because they cared for him. They paid attention to him. They, mm-hmm. like, and they, you know, I mean, Regulus brought him on this special mission for the Dark Lord. Like, granted, it was horrifying, but right. it gave him, you know, like, a certain amount of respect, I guess. And so Hermione's like, let's start treating Creature better. And so they start doing, and Hermione's like, oh, and then Harry says, well, but he lied to me about Sirius being at Grimmauld Place. And Hermione's like, yeah, but Sirius was a complete jerk to him yeah. all the time. Yeah. And if someone is a jerk to you all the time like that, are you really going to fall, like,
mm-mm.
you know, how would you react? And so Harry's like, damn it, you're right. And so then they start treating Creature a lot better, and Creature starts, like, being a lot happier with them, and he starts, like, cooking them really good food and, like, showers and looks good and always is wearing the locket and...
Yeah.
Life is better on Grimmauld Place.
Well, he's not back for a while, though. He doesn't come back at all.
Well, right. That's just right. the long scope yeah. of things. Now we'll go back.
So they're hanging out waiting at Grimmauld Place, and Creature does not come back as fast as Harry had hoped. He yeah. was expecting him back, like, that day. And so they're just kind of hanging out, because they don't know where to go or what to do, and they're freaked out about the fact that Death Eaters found them so quickly when they were in Tottenham Court Road. And I think... Do Death Eaters, like, show up and peer at the house from across the sidewalk? Because, like, you can't see Grimmauld Place unless you know it's there.
Yeah.
Unless one of the Secret Keepers has told you it's there.
Death Eaters show up, and they're just standing across the street from Grimmauld Place, just watching it, and they're in, like, shifts.
Yeah.
So clearly, they, like, think that Harry would go there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just under constant surveillance. So,
yeah.
like, Harry and Ron and Hermione can see out the windows and can see the Death Eaters, but they can't see in yeah. to see the three of them.
Right.
So they start doing, wearing the invisibility cloak and going and getting
Yes,
food
right. mm-hmm.
and like the Daily Prophet and stuff. So what they do is they step out onto the like foot or the what
the top step,
the top step leading up to the stairs to Grimmauld Place, to the door outside, and they apparate and go somewhere to get yeah. food and whatever, and then they apparate back onto the top step.
Yeah,
and that way the Death Eaters can't see them. But there's a couple times that like. So, in the book, it goes to the point of view of the Death Eaters, and they're like, they see a flash of something, they're
yeah.
like, and they get really excited, but then they're like, oh, it must have been nothing. And then yeah. it goes to Ron's point of view, who's like, yeah, I think I showed him my ankle accidentally.
Not really great at operating.
I'm not that great at operating. Not sure why you guys are sending me,
yeah.
but I think we're good. And they're yeah, like, all
right. We should be fine. And so then, so something that's completely missed in the movie is the next thing that happens while they're still at Grimmauld Place is Lupin visits.
Oh, the Lupin visit.
And so Lupin identifies himself. Like, I think all three of them come out with their wands blazing, and he's like, it's Lupin! And they're like, oh, okay. Like, Ron and Hermione put their wands down, and Harry's like, "Murr." And Lupin, like, says, I created the Marauder's map. I often go by...
I'm a werewolf.
Yeah, I go by Padfoot. Oh, no, I go by Moody. Thank you. And, I'm married to Tonks, and...
I'm married to Nymphadora Tonks.
Yeah.
And okay. Harry's like, all right.
And Harry...
You're probably the real
Harry's
one.
Patronus takes the form of a stag. Which I feel like that's not really an identifying... Like, everybody knows that at this point. But whatever. So basically, Lupin's like, hey guys, how's it going? And they're like, oh, we're fine.
We're
what's
good.
Going on?
What's happening with you?
And he just kind of gives them an update on the Wizarding World, which is basically the Voldemort's taken over the Ministry... They've been rounding up Muggleborns and, like, claiming that the Muggleborns have stolen magic from rightful wizards. So, that's bad. And, right now I remember how it goes. And, he's like, so, what you guys doing? You're not at school. And they're like, Dumbledore gave us a thing, well, gave Harry a thing, and we're gonna do that.
We're gonna
he's
do
like,
that.
He's like, oh, what is it? And they're like, no.
And Harry's like, I'm not gonna tell you.
And he's like,
and
well.
And Lupin's like, you should tell me.
I'm your former Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, and I'm probably the closest thing you have to a father right now, so, like, you
so should tell me. And Harry's like, no.
No.
And Lupin's like, dude, I'm pretty sure Dumbledore would want you to tell me.
Right.
And Harry's like, if Dumbledore had wanted me to tell you, he would have told me that you're okay to tell. But he didn't. He said only Ron and Hermione.
Yep. And he's Lupin's like, well, like, but
I think, Dumbledore's dead.
But you guys are barely adults, and I should probably come with you on whatever mission this is. And they're like, wouldn't Tonks want to come with? And he's like, Tonks is fine staying at home.
Tonks is like, fine at home, and you guys should really have an adult with you.
Right, and they're like, wait,
they're like,
Tonks is fine staying at home? Tonks.
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 Fine staying at home.
Nymphadora Tonks.
Nymphadora
who's always
Tonks.
In the middle of the action.
Who's, like, constantly riding broomsticks and knocking things over.
Being
and
badass. Being awesome. All manner of things. Wants to stay home.
Wants to stay home.
Tell us more about this, Lupin.
And Lupin's like, oh, also, Harry notices that Lupin looks a lot older than the last episode.
Yes,
time
he's right.
A lot grayer and troubled and not looking so good.
Yeah.
And Lupin's like, well, so Nymphadora's kind of pregnant.
Yay!
And Harry's like, like, they're all like, woohoo, that's awesome. And Lupin's like, yeah. And Harry's like, what's up? And Lupin says, well, I mean, like, we don't really know what the child will be like, considering I'm a werewolf and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, it's really freaking me out. And, like, you guys need help, so I'll just go with you. And Harry freaks the...
loses his shit.
F out. Yeah, and it's like, no! Like, you are not coming with us and risking your life when you're gonna have a baby at home. And, like, are you freaking kidding me? You're telling Harry Potter, who lost both of his parents, that you're gonna, like, risk your life when you have a child on the way? And Lupin's like, meh. But, like, but you guys need me. And Harry's like, no, I don't! And, like, Harry just flies off the handle at this point. Like, I can't even describe how intense it is.
Yeah. He basically just tears down Lupin and is like, listen, like, my father died trying to protect me. How dare you ditch your kid and go off, like, just wasting your life on an adventure? And Lupin's like, that's not what this is. And Harry basically, like, accuses him of stepping into Sirius' shoes and trying to be a daredevil and says he's a coward.
Yeah.
And Lupin storms off.
And Lupin's like, whatever, and leaves.
Yeah.
And Ron and Hermione are like, you kind of got a little easier on him. And Harry's like, no. Yeah. No parents leave their child.
Yep.
Unless they die.
He's like, if it makes him go back to Tonks, then it's worth it. And they're both like, okay.
Okay. Don't bring up the parent thing around Harry.
Nope.
Mental note. Hermione, write that down.
Right.
So then they're hanging out for a couple more days.
No, it's pretty much instantaneous. Because
So
Lupin's brought them the newest copy of the Daily Prophet. Which is like, by the way, Harry Potter's bad guy, and we're rounding up all the Muggle-borns, but nobody be worried about it. And also, an exclusive excerpt from the upcoming biography of Albus Dumbledore, which is basically like, hey, Dumbledore had a little sister named Ariana, but she wasn't allowed to go to Hogwarts, and she was basically imprisoned in the house, and she had no magic, so she was a squib, and the family was ashamed of her. And Dumbledore totally was complicit in this, and like, allowed it to happen. And Harry's like, what? And is sort of trying to process this. And then there's an explosion and a cracking noise and creature. And I think it's just creature.
Just creature.
Just creature.
In the movie, it's creature and Dobby. This is a falsity. It's just creature.
Right. Because creature is awesome. I think the problem is the movie knows that we're not going to, like, have that much sympathy for creature.
Well, the movie never redeems creature.
Yeah.
So they're like, we need
just, like,
someone
we need
cool
Dobby.
In here too. But yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. Mundungus fights, and they're just, like, they take his wand, and they're basically like, hey, you stole a bunch of crap. And he's like, nah.
No, I didn't.
Nuh-uh.
And they're like, yeah, you did.
And I believe he talks shit about the house, and creature hits him with a frying pan?
Yep.
Basically Harry's like, hey, where's the locket? And Mundungus is like, no, there wasn't a locket. And, there wasn't a locket, and they're like, shut up, Mundungus, we know there was a locket. And he's like, ugh. They're like, where's the locket? And he says, well, she took it, she took everything, like, I got caught, selling stuff, and this woman came up from the ministry and was like, hey, you're not allowed to sell it. Like, let me see your license. And I gave her the, like, she took a fancy little locket, so I gave it to her so she'd leave me alone. And they're like, what woman from the ministry? And he's like, I don't know. She looked like a toad, and she had a bow on top of her head. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Umbridge.
Carrie's least favorite character in the entire world of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Dolores Jane Umbridge has come back.
Yep.
So, Harry's like, shit.
Yeah.
Swear jar. And.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, this is awful.
Yep.
They also learn.
So Harry comes back.
What do they do with Mundungus then?
I don't remember. I think he disapparates.
He just disapparate?
No. I don't remember what they do to him. It doesn't actually say.
Yeah, well.
But basically, so they keep going off to get daily profits and food, and on September 1st, when everybody else is going to Hogwarts, they're like, oh.
And they start, like, thinking about, like, oh, we would be on the train right now. Yeah. Like, it would be so much fun.
But it's kind of nice, because...
it's nostalgic.
Here's the description from the book. So Harry comes back from one of his excursions, and says, the kitchen was almost unrecognizable. Every surface now shone. Copper pots and pans had been burnished to a rosy glow. The wooden tabletop gleamed. The goblets and plates already laid for dinner glinted in the light from a merrily blazing fire on which a cauldron was simmering. Nothing in the room, however, was more dramatically different than the house elf, who now came hurrying toward Harry, dressed in a snowy white towel, his ear hair as clean and fluffy as cotton wool, Regulus's locket bouncing on his thin chest. Shoes off, if you please, Master Harry, and hands washed before dinner, croaked Creature, seizing the invisibility cloak and slouching off to hang it on a hook on the wall, beside a number of old-fashioned robes that had been freshly laundered.
So... yeah, so Creature's completely transformed up, not only himself, but also the, like, kitchen.
The whole house. So basically, like, yeah, Creature's redeemed himself, and he's been treated well by Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and he's now become just, like, this shining example of house elfery.
Yay. So Harry gets a daily prophet and reads that Severus Snape has been named headmaster of Hogwarts.
Ooh.
And Harry's like, WTF, mate.
Yeah, seriously.
And so, yeah, it just says that he's become the headmaster, and Harry and Ron and Hermione are like, that's going to be different.
Hermione takes off and then comes back in and shoves a portrait into her magical bag, yeah. And they're like, what the heck? And it's an empty portrait, and they're like, what the heck? And she's like, it's Phineas Nigellus, obviously. And they're like, oh. Okay. And she's like, he's the former headmaster of Hogwarts that's also from the Black family, and there's a portrait of him here, and he spends time either in the headmaster's portrait at Hogwarts or here, and if he's here, then he can tell Snape what we're up to. So I'm hiding him in our bag. And they're like, oh. All
that right. I would be so screwed without Hermione. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't quite get why she puts him inside her handbag. Like,
well, I mean,
why not just, like, turn him so he can face the wall?
Because he could still hear.
Oh, that's fair. Why not just set the portrait on fire?
Because arson!
I'm not saying kill him. I'm just saying make it impossible for him to get into the Black House. So basically, they've been... What we find out in the ensuing conversation is they've been studying and observing the Ministry of Magic because they're going to sneak in. Because that's the only way they can get the locket from Umbridge, is to sneak in, find her.
So... yeah, now they at least have, like, a goal.
Yes.
They have at least somewhere to move because they, like, didn't have any plans or anything. Like, they didn't know what to do. So now they know that they need to find Umbridge in order to find the locket. So, where does Umbridge work? The Ministry of Magic.
Right.
So they're like, we're going to have to go to the Ministry of Magic. Yep. And... at first, it's like, this is going to be difficult because, for many reasons, Harry's, like, let's the most review. Wanted person from the Ministry right now, so sauntering in there probably isn't the greatest idea. We don't know much about the Ministry.
Right, we're just kind of, like, it's a ministry?
It's a ministry.
For magic?
So.
Harry went in that one time, we, like, broke in that one time when we were, you know, saving Sirius, but we declared ourselves as visitors, and that's, like, not how we go to go in, like, the normal way, so right. nobody can notice us.
So that's gonna be difficult. Like, it's, yeah. But they're like, but we need to.
Right.
So they start, like, surveilling the ministry a little bit. So when they, like, leave on their morning excursions to get food or whatever, mm-hmm. they also kind of stake out the ministry, like, at least the public entrance or, like, the workers' entrance or, like, the area by it, to start seeing patterns so that they'll, like, get more used to who's there and, like, what they can do to get in and, like, all that yeah. good stuff. So they do this for a while. They start seeing patterns. They start picking up little bits of information, like someone will say someone will mention like Umbridge, or someone will say something about like what's going on in the ministry when they're like walking to work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're picking up on some stuff. Harry and Ron and Hermione are making the plan.
Yep. Well, and then basically Harry's just like, okay, we're ready. Let's go. And yeah. they're like, no, they're this like, is, we're not, we need to reach, and he's like, no, we, I mean, a lot of it relies on chance, but it's going to be the same thing in 3 months, so let's just go now. And they're like,
Eternal Gryffindor.
Okay.
So, yeah.
They
decide to go. Creature says, I will have some onion soup for you when you get back.
Yep.
Like, I'll have
adorable.
And they're like, okay. And so they go, so they operate to, like, an alleyway outside of the ministry, knock out two ministry workers.
Yep. A little witch and a guy in blue robes.
Yep. For Ron and Hermione yep. to turn into.
Yep.
They rock some Polyjuice Potion.
Yep.
Turn into them. They, what does Harry do?
I don't remember.
Does Harry just rock a...
No, Harry turns into that one guy.
I know, but how? Like, when does that happen?
I don't remember. Reg Cattermole.
Because, Ron turns into Reg Cattermole.
Yeah.
And Hermione's Mafalda Hopkirk.
Right.
And Harry becomes, don't tell me, Albert Runcorn.
Exactly.
Don't remember how, though.
I don't remember either, because I don't see the two of them attacking him.
Because I thought...
Mafalda... Oh, okay, apparently that... Apparently they also got Runcorn.
Okay, well, apparently all three of them yep. passed out at some point.
Oh, they didn't plan to take Runcorn. They basically just grabbed somebody.
Oh, okay, because I was like, there's something different about that one.
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird. I can't find where it says, like... Oh, and we've decided we're just going to grab whoever. So, yeah, anyway. So they have to flush themselves into a toilet. They do that in their disguises. So apparently, yeah, they figure out that Harry is impersonating a guy named Runcorn. Yeah, I don't know why they don't pick, like, a third, why they haven't picked a third person specifically. And, basically...
Well, I think they know that the two, like, they've seen Reg and Mafalda
yeah.
come enough that they Off know enough. That they yeah. will be there. And I think, like, something goes slightly awry. Like, the third person, they, like, either the third person they had planned for Harry isn't there, or they never really found a third yeah. person regularly that's there, and so they just kind of pick whoever. One.
Yeah. So, basically, they go in disguised as Ron is... Reg Cattermole, Hermione as Mafalda Hopkirk, and Harry, as we learn as we go along, Runcorn.
Yeah.
And they get into the ministry. The ministry's fountain, which, as you'll recall from book 5, is very lovely and has, like, a centaur, a witch, a wizard, a house elf, all being happy together. No. No.
Not now, anymore.
Now it is a witch and a wizard on top looking like badass. Like, we are in charge. And all of these muggles underneath them, like, bearing the weight of the platform that holds them. And it's like, muggles in their rightful place kind of thing. And it's basically, Hermione is terrified by this because she's the muggle-born. And we find out that Reg Cattermole's wife is one of those being questioned,
mm-hmm.
and that he's supposed to be upstairs fixing someone's
Yaxley's
office, where it's apparently raining and they can't get it to stop raining. So Hermione's like whispering all these different like things to him while they get in the elevator, like try this and try this and try this. So instead of sticking together as they'd hoped, they have to split up. Or at least Ron has to go up and try to fix this thing because Yaxley's being an ass about his wife.
Then
Umbridge gets into the elevator and they're like, you have art. And she's like, oh, good, Mafalda, great, you come with me. And she takes her and goes away. And it's like, crap.
Yep. So Harry...
Because they can't jump Umbridge in the middle of the ministry and be like, right. Give us the locket! Although it'd be awesome.
So Harry's like, huh. So both Ron and Hermione have... Ron, Reg, and Hermione Mafalda have left me. And so he kind of just starts wandering the ministry.
Yeah, I think so. Well, he tries to find Dolores' office because he thinks that's where...
Right. And so, like, he knows, like, he's like, I think it's on whatever, like, the level third one. Floor. Okay, the level one. And so he just goes there and starts, like, walking around. And he, comes across the people making the things.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes across a large group of people who are manufacturing pamphlets on mudbloods and the danger they pose to society.
Yep.
And Harry's like, well, that's lame. And then sees the door to Dolores Umbridge's office, which has an eye in it. A magical eye with a bright blue iris. And he recognizes it as Mad-Eye Moody's eye.
Yep.
So when Mad-Eye Moody died, someone found Mad-Eye's body and took the eye out. And it is now watching people from Dolores Umbridge's door. Right. And Harry's like, no.
Creepy as fuck. No. And also not okay.
Yeah. So... Harry,
Harry puts on the invisibility cloak. Oh, does he use the decoy detonator?
I think he does. At least he does in the movie.
Yep, decoy, so he uses a decoy detonator, which if you'll recall from the movies, or from book whatever, the
Weasley Brothers made.
And, you put it down and it runs far away from you and then sets off a whole bunch of whizzing and noises and fireworks and stuff, and so people get distracted and you can do things. So he does that, and then he throws on the invisibility cloak. Quickly opens the door to Umbridge's room and sneaks into her office.
Yep.
Question, why does she not have that more securely locked? It has a magical eye. Right.
That's pretty good security. Okay. Unless you have a kick-ass invisibility cloak.
Right.
So then he gets in there, and he's, like, disgusted because it's all pink.
He takes the eye
and there's kittens everywhere. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he takes the eye, too. And he's like, it looks exactly like her office at Hogwarts did. And he's like, meh, this is disgusting. And then he's like, Accio Locket. And nothing happens. And he's like, and then he just kind of starts walking around the office and he finds, files.
Yep.
And so he, or I think he's looking in like a cabinet, in like a filing cabinet, and finds a file on Arthur Weasley, and realizes that Arthur's being tracked. And that, like, they have all this information on Arthur Weasley, and that they're really looking after him. Apparently they suspect that they suspect that, Arthur is working with Harry, that there's a connection to Harry. So, in typical Harry Potter fashion, he feels really guilty about this, and is like, well, that's kind of not cool. And then he finds other files, question mark?
He finds his own file.
Okay.
Which has a little pink note stuck to it with a picture of a kitten in the corner, and it says, to be punished. And basically, then he leaves, is the short. And then he finds Ron, who doesn't recognize him. And Ron's soaking wet. And he's like, what? Harry, why are you? Where's Hermione? And he's like, yeah, she's down in the dungeon with Umbridge, so we gotta go figure that out.
Also, there's a moment.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, where, Arthur Weasley gets on the elevator.
Yep.
And on the lift. Right. And looks at Harry with, like, disdain.
Yes.
And is very upset. And Harry's like, this is super weird. And I, like, he's wants to tell Arthur, like, you're being tracked, like, watch what you do.
Yeah.
But can't do that because he's Albert Runcorn.
Well, actually, so...
Like, he's trying
to,
like...
So, Ron, Reg, takes off to try to fix something else in the office, and then, like, says thanks, because Arthur gives him a tip, And so he takes off and he says, thanks, Dad, Arthur. And so he takes off. And then when Runcorn tries to get out, when Harry Runcorn tries to get out and follow him, Mr. Weasley pins him in the elevator and is like, we're going to have a talk. Leaked the fact that Dirk Cresswell faked his family tree in order to protect himself from being implicated as a mudblood. And he's like, yeah. And, because, like, he has no idea. Harry has no idea. Mm-hmm. And, basically Weasley's just like, blah, you're a terrible guy, and you're gonna get your ass kicked, and fuck you. But in really nice ways. And then Harry's like, Arthur, you're being watched. And he's like, is that a threat? And then he leaves. So it's really not successful
at all. Yeah, it's a really bad encounter.
And so then... he has to go down to the dungeon without Ron, and he has to make it through a cadre of Dementors without casting a Patronus, which is just the worst.
Yeah, because the second he casts a Patronus, it's going to be a stag, and everyone's going to be like, it's Harry Potter.
Yeah. So this is the sweetest thing. He moved forward as silently as he could, and with every step he took, numbness seemed to steal over his brain, but he forced himself to think of Hermione and of Ron, who needed him.
Aww.
Like, consistently, Hermione and Ron are the ones who save Harry even when he can't conjure a Patronus.
It's true.
So, Mary Cattermole gets called up. Reg Cattermole is not there. In the movie, Reg Cattermole is there. Not true. He's not there. And then, basically, they're interrogating Mary Cattermole and being like, hey, you're not really a witch. Who did you steal this wand from? And she's like, no, the wand chose me. And they're basically just awful to her. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's crying, and she's talking about her children, and they're like, we don't care about the children of mudbloods. Like, you're a terror. Like, rah, 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 rah. And so Hermione is shaking and just terrified, because all of the stuff that they're saying about mudbloods, they would say to her if she ever ends up in this chair that, like, is the one that has the chains that wrap around you.
And she's also, like, extra terrified because all mudbloods were, like, told they need to register.
Right.
And Hermione never did that. So, and they have realized this. Like, they recognize that Hermione Granger is missing from their registry. So she's, like, in double trouble.
Right. And so, basically, Harry just stupefies everybody. Is the short story.
Yeah, the short story is that Harry's just, like, stupefied at everyone.
Yeah.
Hermione grabs the locket.
Duplicates it.
Yeah, she grabs the locket from... Because the locket is on Umbridge's chest.
Right.
Hermione grabs it, duplicates it quick, puts a duplicate back on Umbridge, then runs to Harry, I think.
Right, Harry casts a stag, Patronus, and they, basically...
Well,
that's right.
Yeah, they go down the hallway, and there's a bunch of Muggleborns that are, like, waiting trial, mm-hmm. and Harry's like, get out of here, bitches.
He's like, who's got wands? And, like, half of them are like, I still have my wand. And he's like, great, you take the people without wands, everybody apparate, get the hell out of here, run away. That's the new ministry position. just go into hiding until further notice. And they're all like, what? And he's like, just go!
Yep.
And
they're like, okay.
And, yeah, they go.
Well, don't they run, like, do they apparate or do they run into the ministry? Like, doesn't
well,
that
the ministry
kind of
starts,
what...
the ministry starts sealing off the exits, to keep people from getting out, because they've, like, alerted, I think they know because the eye is missing, maybe, or something, they're not entirely
that
certain.
That could be it. Yeah, I think it's the eye.
And basically it's just, like, seal all the exits, go, and, like, and then... They try to get all the... Harry, Ron, and Hermione are trying to get the wizards out. Like, they're starting to transform into their original forms. There's a little bit of confusion between Reg Cattermole and Ron... Reg Cattermole.
Yeah.
Not the kissing like in the movies, but it's cute. I mean, like, I like the movie that they have
a kissing.
It's kind of cute.
That is kind of cute, but not book.
But not book. And then,
So then... They try and get...
Oh, right.
They try and get out, and
Yaxley's
running after them.
And they have to... And they want to apparate home. And Yaxley grabs...
Hermione.
Yeah. And they operate on
so they all operate together, but Yaxley's holding on. So then all of a sudden they're in the woods.
Yep.
And Ron is in pain.
And Yaxley's gone.
And Harry's like, what just happened? And Hermione's like, I operated to Grimmauld Place, but Yaxley was on me, and so I shuffled him off at the door, but he's been there now. We've given him the secret. He knows of Grimmauld Place, and so I had to get out of there really quickly, so now we're in a forest. And Harry's like, okay, and then Ron's hurt, and Hermione's like, and Ron is splinched. So
part of Ron got left behind.
Yeah, so he's in severe pain. Hermione gets the essence of Dittany out of her bag. Well, Harry gets it for her.
Harry starts digging in the bag to try to find it, and she's like, hurry up, and he goes, right, right, and he points his wand, and it goes, Accio Dittany, and it pops out, and he's like, right.
I have magic. I
forgot about that.
So then Hermione takes care of Ron, and then once Ron's kind of okay, she stands up and starts doing spells? Is that right away? Okay. So she starts walking around this campsite doing these random spells, and Harry's like, what are you doing? And Hermione says, well, they're protective charms. So, like, if someone walks by, they can't hear us, and, like, there's, like, a one that they can't see us, and there's one of whatever. So Hermione puts up a bunch of protective charms around it.
It's both to keep muggles and ministry slash dark wizards away.
Yeah.
In case we didn't cover that.
See, again, they would be screwed without Hermione.
Exactly!
So then, I think Harry gets the locket and wears it.
I think so.
Oh, well, Hermione's doing these spells and she's like, okay, can you set up the tent, please? And Harry's like, where am I supposed to get a tent? And then Hermione's like, in my bag, you dunce. And then, Harry finds the tent that they, were in for at the World Cup.
For a cup, yeah.
And sets it up and stuff.
Ron is like, gosh, I hope the Cattermole's got away. It was pretty clear that Reg Cattermole was not very smart from the way people were talking to me, and I hope they don't end up in Azkaban because of us. And here's a paragraph that I just want to read. Harry looked over at Hermione, and the question he had been about to ask, about whether Mrs. Cattermole's lack of a wand would prevent her apparating alongside her husband, died in his throat. Hermione was watching Ron fret over the fate of the Cattermoles, and there was such tenderness in her expression that Harry felt almost as if he had surprised her in the act of kissing him.
Aww. God, J.K. Rowling can write.
Yeah, right?
Damn.
Like, I just love the little sprinkles here and there of, like, the developing positive relationship between Ron and Hermione. Which then makes what happens towards the middle of the book a lot more potent.
Yes.
Spoiler, Ron leaves for a while.
Harry asks for the Horcrux and wants to, like, immediately start, like, trying to kill it, I think.
Yeah.
Also, there's a moment somewhere in here, I don't remember when, but Harry, they all start to get hungry, and Harry starts to, like, think about the soup that Creature had for them waiting, and he's like, I hope that Creature's okay, and that, and that Creature doesn't get, like, angry at them for not coming back, and, like, he has this really, like, tender, I don't know,
yeah, like, and what happens if the Creature's, because now they know that it's a Grimmauld Place, and, like, what if they've taken the elf, and they've hurt him? And, yeah, it's basically, it's really sad.
Yeah. So then Harry takes the Horcrux, and then his scar starts hurting.
Burning. Exploding.
And he's like, I tend to have visions when this happens. And I think he goes somewhere to be alone.
Yeah.
And sees a vision. And he goes into Voldemort's mind, like he tends to do.
Right. If you remember book five.
If you remember book five. And earlier in this book. And Voldemort is with Grigorovich?
He's found Grigorovich.
The wand maker.
The German or sort of Eastern European wand maker. And says, give it to me. And Grigorovich says, I don't have it. It was stolen from me. And the Dark Lord and Voldemort's like, don't lie to me. And Grigorovich is like, I didn't. And then you see through Harry going to Voldemort going into Grigorovich's mind, and he remembers a young blonde man stealing something. he sees a young blonde man stealing something from Grigorovich. And Voldemort's like, who was it? He's like, I don't know. I don't know who this man was, like, this young man was. Please leave me alone. And then he obviously gets killed by Lord Voldemort because that's what Lord Voldemort does.
Yep.
And so Harry wakes up from this and Hermione's like, hey, you were supposed to protect your mind from Vol. And Ron's like, can we not say the name? And Hermione and Harry both look at him and they're like, that's stupid. Dumbledore already said the name. And he's like, can we just not say the name? Can you just say you know who? It just makes me feel creepy. And they're like,
ugh, they're like, fine.
Fine. Fine. We'll not say the name.
You know who.
Yeah. And so basically, Harry's like, okay, well, he went to go see Grigorovich, so it's probably about, like, the fact that my wand keeps defeating, but he didn't ask any questions about, like, wand cores and stuff, and, like, how to overcome that. He wanted something from him. And Hermione's like, do you know what it was? And Harry's like, no. Don't have all the answers. And, basically, yeah, that's pretty much the whole story. So, Voldemort's looking for something.
Yep.
We don't know what.
Right.
Some blonde kid stole it from Grigorovich a long time ago. We don't know what it is. Maybe it's the, like, if you'll recall, we know exactly what the, I'm just gonna lead the audience.
Okay.
In a way that they don't know.
Ooh.
Because they don't get this in the movie. So, prepare yourselves, podcast listeners. I may be leading you down a path of a red herring. Flames on the side of my face. It's a really, really intricate reference. I'm really sorry. Anyway, that was a reference to the movie Clue, by the way. Which is a great movie, if no one knows. Anyway, so, we know, for example, that Voldemort, well, we'll just keep saying you know who for now.
Yeah.
You know who turned Slytherin's locket. What did I do? I didn't do anything. Okay, I didn't bring it. We know that Voldemort turned Slytherin's locket and the ring and the journal into, oh no, never mind, excuse me. We know that he turned Slytherin's locket
and the ring.
Right, okay.
Diary.
Right, what are the Horcruxes we know? The ring, the locket, the diary. The theory is
something of Hufflepuffs, right, or Ravenclaws.
Right, and something of Gryffindors, but we don't think there's anything of Gryffindors, because the only thing that's, like, really attributed to Gryffindor is the sword, and we know where the sword is.
Yeah.
Well,
we don't know where the sword is, but
right,
we don't think, like, it can't be a Horcrux.
Right, right. We think the sword is probably not a Horcrux. Because Basilisk Femme. So, maybe Grigorovich, maybe, like, he's trying to make another Horcrux, and Grigorovich had something that belonged to Gryffindor, or Hufflepuff or Ravenclaw, because, like, apparently he wants to have one from all four houses.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we don't know what
Grigorovich has. So we don't know what's going on. We know he was a wand maker. That's about it. So, they hang out in the woods for a while. Do-do-do-do-do, we're in the woods. And it's really hard to get food because there's just bad stuff everywhere. Ron is super crabby.
Ron is so crabby.
Ron is not good at not having food.
Yeah. So, there's some internal dialogue or something where Harry's like, Ron has never had to survive without his mother's cooking.
Exactly.
Or the Hogwarts kitchens, so yeah, he's not doing well. And he's getting really testy, and he's like, why can't we just magic some food? Like, my mom can do that. And Hermione's like, no, you can bring food that's, like, already made, or you can, like, do whatever, but it's some rule of magic that you can't just make food. And Ron's like,
yeah. They keep trying to, like, check out different places that Voldemort might have hidden a Horcrux. Like, they check Voldemort's orphanage, even though Harry's like, there's no way. And the orphanage has been burned to the ground, and they kind of dig around, and it's just nothing.
Yep.
And, they basically, just hanging out in the woods. Hanging out in the woods.
And then, so there's one night where they're in the tent, and they hear people walking around, and they're like, shit.
Yep.
And then they hear a fire get started, and, like, the crackling of that, and they're like, be cool, everyone. And then they hear some voices. And it turns out that it's not a group of Death Eaters or anything. It's a group of people who are running from Death Eaters. There's some goblins.
Yep.
There's...
Grip Hook. You remember Grip Hook? Grip Hook is the goblin that took Harry to his first ever time in his Gringotts vault. Got there.
Yeah.
Got good stuff, job. But got there.
Also, Dean Thomas.
Dean Thomas!
Is with them. He's a Muggleborn? Question mark?
Correct.
Okay.
Dean Thomas from... Well, my dad's a Muggle. Mom's a witch.
Ah! Whoa! That's Dean? I thought that was Seamus.
Oh. Yeah, that's Dean. Shock when she oh, yeah, out. You're right. That's right. Seamus says that line. But Dean is definitely... Oh, my dad... Oh, Muggleborn... I'm not sure, said Dean. My dad loved my mom when I was a kid. I've got no proof he was a wizard. And also, Ted Tonks. So, Ted Tonks is Muggleborn, so he had to run for it. His wife, Andromeda, is pure blood, so she's fine.
So she's cool.
They're not yet persecuting pure bloods married to mudbloods. Probably because if the mudblood goes into hiding, then you can be like, I got rid of him. And they'll be like, cool, good job. And you're like, thanks. Leave now.
So they're just kind of gathering around this fire, chatting.
Yeah, they talk about, like, oh, Grip Hook, why aren't you at Gringotts? And he's like, I didn't really feel like staying because the ministry basically taken over and I don't do errands for Death Eaters or anyone. And then they kind of make these jokes about, like, hiding something in a vault or, like, something that wizards don't see. And we find out that, so if you'll recall, Bill Weasley works at the bank, and so Griphook is like, oh yeah, you know Bill's younger sister? She tried to steal the Gryffindor sword from Headmaster Snape's, office, and so that's why it's in a vault now. And Harry and Ron are both like, nah, Ginny! but Griphook is like, yeah, but that sword is a fake. And they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's a really nice copy, but the one that's been in the Headmaster's office and the one that's now in a bank is totally a fake. And they're all like, oh. And Harry and Ron and Hermione are like, so where's the real one?
Ted Tonks is like, so did you tell the Death Eaters that this is not the real sword? And Griphook's like, why would I? Nope.
Yep. And nope, like, not gonna help.
Okay.
They talk a little bit about, like, oh, hey, you know, the Quibbler's actually publishing some really, like, quality stuff now, and they're saying to support Harry Potter and don't read the Daily Prophet because it's crap. And that's just kind of the end of the conversation. And so they pull Phineas Nigellus out of the bag and they're like, hey, glad you stole your go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, so then they the group outside gets rid of the fire and then leaves,
right?
And then Harry, Ron, Hermione are in the tent, and Hermione's like, yeah. And goes to the bag and pulls out Phineas.
Yep. Like, hey! How, and she puts a, Hermione puts a blindfold on him. Which, like, how does Hermione know the spell to cast a blindfold on a portrait of a person?
Because she's Hermione freaking Granger.
A black blindfold appeared over Phineas Nigellus' clever dark eyes, causing him to bump into the frame and shriek with pain.
And then he's like, what? What? And she's like, I'm sorry, but we can't let you know our location. Yep. And he's like, you guys suck.
Yep.
And she's like, hey, was there anyone in Hogwarts trying to steal the Gryffindor sword? And he's like, well, Ginny Weasley did.
Yeah. And he's like, talks smack about her, that she's like a mudblood sympathizer.
Yeah.
And the Luna girl's an oddity, and Neville's like basically a squib. And they're all like, shut up! Just answer our questions. And he's like, why have you taken me from my house? And they're like, just answer our questions. And, basically, there's a lot of yelling. And
then Phineas is like, I'm leaving.
Yes. And so Hermione's like, look, we just want to know the last time the sword was taken from its case. And he's like, well, I believe the last time was when Dumbledore used it to break open a ring. And then leaves. So basically we've confirmed that the sword can destroy Horcruxes because it's imbued with basilisk venom.
Oh, also, Hermione's like, hold up! Have you told Snape that this occurred? And Phineas is like, why would I bother Professor Snape with the stupid things that Albus Dumbledore did in his office?
Right.
And they're like,
right.
So yeah, and so now it is confirmed.
Yeah.
That
the sword can be used. That's right. We figure out, so in the movie we talk about the sword being impregnated with basilisk venom when it's given to Harry in the will, but it's not till now that they figure it out in the book.
Mm.
Remember all moment.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so basically Ron and Hermione, or Harry and Hermione are like, awesome, okay, so Dumbledore wanted to use the sword on the locket, so he didn't give it to you yet, so he had it in his office, but then,
he must have made a copy and then put the fake one in there and taking the real one out, and now he's going to give you the sword somehow. We're going to come across it somehow.
Right. Where?
But how?
Where did he put it? We don't know.
We don't know.
And they're like, hey, Ron, what do you think? And Ron is like off in a corner sulking. And he's like, oh, one more thing we have to find.
Yeah.
And he and Harry get into a row and was just like, you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea what you're doing. This is stupid. We're just starving in the middle of the woods. My sister's in danger. My whole family's in danger because I'm off gallivanting around with you and you don't even know what you're doing. And Harry's like, I told you everything I knew. And I told you that was everything that I knew. I'm sorry that you thought this was going to be like a magical vacation where we just find the Horcruxes right away and destroy them, defeat Voldemort in 6 weeks and you'd be back home with your mummy. But that's not the way it is because we got to defeat Voldemort and it's going to take some effort. And Ron's like, yeah, well, you're not even trying. You got nothing to go on. And I'm not even sure Dumbledore wanted you to do this. And he's kind of a crazy guy if he thinks that we can just go on like the crap evidence that he gave us. And there's a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
And basically it gets to the point at which Ron gets his bag and is like, well, I'm gonna go back to my family and like take care of them. And
and he
looks at Hermione and says, well, and she says, what do you mean? He says, well, are you coming with me or are you staying with him?
And Hermione says, well, I'm going to stay. Like, yeah. We have to do this.
We said we were going to help. We were going to help defeat you-know-who.
Yeah. And Ron's like, whatever.
And he says, then, I get it. You choose him.
Yeah. And then leaves. Disapparates. And yeah. Hermione's, like, freaking out.
Yeah.
And so, and so for you listeners that are confused right now,
a cop car drove by. Lights off though. Yeah. Also, its headlights were off, which is kind of dangerous this time of night. It's 10:30.
Confused.
They patrol the parking lot because a lot of cars get broken into because you can see them from Eustace. A cop came and knocked on my door once, tried to find me because they were like, "Hey, your Honda Accord's gonna get broken into because that's like the car that people like to break into." And they're going to break into it and steal it. And I was like, that car's been dead for 6 months. So actually, if they can steal it and get it running, more power to them. I can probably claim more if you steal it than if I write it off of my taxes. So go for it. They didn't take it. So sad.
Aww.
It's fine. I donated it to Newgate School. It was awesome.
Aww.
They were good. Yeah. They were like good Newgate. People. Got to take a nice write off of my taxes for it, too.
Ooh.
Well, which was nice, except for the problem is, that then it means because I made so little money. Fun fact, seminary, not very lucrative. Especially your time in seminary, not lucrative. And then working for like 4 months at Barnes & Noble, also not lucrative. So I made so little money in 2014, but then had a tax write-off for donating my car that I got flagged for an audit. So that'll happen sometime in the next. Audits take a long time, so it'll happen in the next like 3 years.
Yeep.
Yeah, so I just have to be like on my guard.
Right.
Against the evil tax man. Yeah, trying to take my money and pay for education. That's most 1/3 of Minnesota taxes go for education, so that's why I'm okay paying taxes in state. Anyway, speaking of taxes, oh, I got it. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Taxes fund our welfare system, which is what J.K. Rowling was on when she started writing Harry Potter, and it was only because she had the financial support and the time to get herself back up on her feet that she was able to write these amazing books that have changed so many people's lives. And that is why social welfare, with its correct and, like, amazingly done, but correctly done rules against abusing the system, why it is a great thing. Hashtag Harry Potter socialism.
Wow. I mean, yes.
Hashtag but... Potter shrugged. Oh no, I'm sorry. Hashtag Albus shrugged. Got there. Best nice. Pun.
Nice.
Have you ever seen the, like, Ayn Rand, like, the Ayn Randian version of Harry Potter?
No.
Do you know who Ayn Rand is?
Yes.
Okay. So it's basically just, like, Harry Potter sitting around smoking, like, a French cigarette, and, Hermione's like, we have to defeat Voldemort, and he's like, listen, it's all about philosophy. If the Dark Lord doesn't have a feasible philosophy, people won't follow him. It's all about the market. You know, like, we don't need to fight him just because he's evil. If his philosophy is sound, he'll survive, and we'll all follow him. If it's not, he'll fall. And then takes a long drag off his Galois, and there's, like, something where Lupin, like, turns into a wolf, and then he's like, get control of yourself, man. It's all about self-will, and he turns back. Nice. It's basically just, like, a giant mockery of Ayn Rand.
Right.
Because she takes it too far. Anyway, so, Ron has disappeared. Well, disapparated back to his family to, you know.
Presumably.
Yeah, presumably.
So, Hermione's now crying at night. Harry's pretending he can't hear it.
Yep.
Things have taken a dreary turn.
Harry takes out the Marauder's map a lot of nights and, like, watches Ginny walking around the castle, and he's also watching for Ron to reappear among the students, and he doesn't, which he finds surprising.
Yep. He's also taken to not saying... Like, they're not they talking don't, about Ron. They don't, talk they don't about say Ron his at all. Name. No. They never mention him. It's, like, just kind of a sore subject and stuff, so.
Yeah. Basically, so then it's. We get to Christmas time. And, like, it's really close to Christmas. And I'm trying to remember. Why is.
Well,
oh yeah, so he's, Harry comes to Hermione, like, and says, hey, can we talk? And she's like, hey, do you know what this symbol is? And he shows him she shows him the Tales of Beedle the Bard, which are written in runes. He's like, yeah, I know.
I don't know. I don't know runes, Hermione. Nerd.
And she's like, I know, but it's not a rune. Like, look at this symbol. And it's a triangle with a circle and a line. And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, it's... And then he's like, wait, isn't that the thing?
It's like that weird eye thing that Luna's dad was wearing.
Yeah. And it's Grindelwald's mark, the dark wizard that Dumbledore defeated. And she's like, well, why is it in a book about children's stories? And Harry's like, I don't know, Hermione. Please don't give me one more thing to look for.
And Hermione's like, why would someone write in a children's book?
And he's like, I don't know, Hermione. I want to go to Godric's Hollow. I miss my parents, and I don't know what to do with my life, and I just want to go be at Godric's Hollow. And she's like, no, I've been... Or he just says, I want to go to Godric Hall. And she's like, yeah, I've been thinking that's exactly the right place to go. That's where he would have hidden it.
And Harry's like, so what?
And
Hermione says, the sword of Gryffindor. Like, Dumbledore would probably hide it in the place where both of you guys started out your life.
Right, and since Godric Hollow is named for Godric Gryffindor... And Harry's like, what? And she says, have you ever read Hogwarts A History?
And he's like, you read it. Why do I need to?
Right. Oh, no, it's A History of Magic. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, because she says something about Bathilda Bagshot.
Right.
And he was like, oh, yeah, she was there, too.
Right. And Bathilda, yeah, so Bathilda Bagshot's in Godric's Hollow. And so you were born there, and Dumbledore lived there. And
Harry's like, and if Bathilda's still there, I can ask her about my parents.
Yeah. What if she has the sword, Hermione? And Hermione's like, no. And Harry's like, but I want to go. And she's like, oh, fine, we can go.
So they take some Polyjuice Potion.
Yep.
They
transform into a couple of muggles.
Yep. They head to Godric's Hollow, where... They see an adorable little country church, and they're yep. singing hymns, and Hermione's like, I think it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and they get to the graveyard where Harry's parents will be.
Mm-hmm.
And
so Harry's like, I want to find my parents.
Yep.
And Hermione's like, all right, and she kind of starts looking around. And Harry sees a bunch of names.
Yep.
Stumbles upon his parents.
Yep. It's an obelisk, but then when you walk past it, it transforms into... a statue of James, Lily, and baby Harry.
Yep.
So it's this, like, cool little, like, only for wizards does it transform kind of thing.
How strange it was to see himself represented in stone, a happy baby without a scar on his forehead.
Yeah. Because nobody knew when they built the statue that he had a scar. And so, basically they go digging around in the graveyard, and they find...
Well, that's not his... That's not their gravestone. That's
you're right. That's statue. Just the war memorial. Right.
There's a memorial to them in the town.
That's right. It's hidden one, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they find Ariana Dumbledore's grave, which has a quote on it that says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Which is an interesting little biblical reference. Like, it's...
Throw it in there.
Yep. And so then they find, like, she gets really excited. There's something that says, something that looks like Potter, but then no, it's way too old and it's crumbling away. And it has the mark on it. And Harry's like, I don't care about your stupid triangle mark from Tales of Beelzebub. I want to find my parents' grave. And so then they find the grave. And it says, The inscription on it is, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death."
Also, they were super young when they died.
Yeah, they were really, really young. They were both 21.
21. Which...
The movie makes them look a little older.
The movie makes them look older, but I'm just saying, they were married at, like...
Really young.
Age 19, 20?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah. I'm guessing. Well, yeah. Because that's when everybody... Like, everybody was getting married really young because...
They're freaking out. Wartime
makes people do crazy things.
Yep.
And so, yeah. Basically. So they
Ben
go,
and Hermione creates a wreath.
Oh, yeah.
And puts it on the Potter's grave. And I think there's a moment where Harry, like, wishes that he didn't have Polyjuice Potion.
Yeah. He wishes he, like... Could be normal in front of his parents' grave.
Like, he's like, it feels wrong to be in a disguise here.
Yeah.
When do they go to his house?
Right after that.
Okay.
They just go wandering around, basically. So, yeah. And then they see...
So they wander around the town, and they find Harry's house, the one that he grew up in, which it has never been restored. It's still, like, blown apart from when the spell rebounded off Harry. And so they walk up to it, and it's just a really poignant moment. Mm-hmm. And there's a sign that says something about...
On this spot, on the night of 31st October 1981, Lily and James Potter lost their lives. Their son, Harry, remains the only wizard ever to have survived the killing curse. This house, invisible to Muggles, has been left in its ruined state as a monument to the Potters and as a reminder of the violence that tore apart their family.
And so Harry's like, meh. And is staring at it, and then starts to see that, but people have graffitied the sign with, inspiring and, like, positive messages for Harry.
Yeah.
Like, it says, like, good luck wherever you are, and, like, if, like, we're behind you 100%, long live Harry Potter is one of them. Like, everyone's saying, like, these really positive messages toward him, and he's like, ah!
Yeah, he's really moved by it.
Hermione,
they shouldn't have written on the sign, said Hermione, indignant.
And Harry's like, I'm really glad that they did. Like, this is really nice. And then Hermione's like, hey. Right?
Well, then a woman with a shuffling gait comes near to them.
Yep.
And is also staring at the house.
Yep.
And then, raises her hand and beckons them. And, they're under the cloak at this point.
Yep.
And she raises her hand and beckons them, and Hermione's like, how does she know that we're under a cloak? And Harry's like, I don't care, this is Mathilda Bagshot, we need to follow her. Even her ability to sense them suggested some Dumbledore-ish power that he had never encountered before. And so, he whispers and says, are you Mathilda? And the figure nods and beckons again, and so they follow her into, this house. And basically, she, like, when they get closer, she is just a wreck. Like, she's stooped over, she shuffles, she's, like, covered, like, her skin is really pale, almost, like, peeling. She's blind, her eyes are cataracted. And she's got, like, blue knuckles. It's just, she's, her house is a mess. It's, like, covered in dust and moths, and it's just gross. And it smells really bad.
It smells super like death. Bad.
And so basically,
And there's been rumors that, Bathilda's kind of gone a little crazy.
Yeah.
And no one's really taking care of her. And that when Rita Skeeter, came in and used her as a source for the book, that Rita was quite abusive to her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Badness.
Yeah. Harry lights the candles, because Bathilda seems unable to do it. And then, he looks at her mantle, and there is the blonde-haired, merry young thief who stole something from Gregorovitch. And he's like, what? Miss Bagshot, who is this? And she just looks at him. And he keeps, like, saying, "Who is this? Who is this?" And she doesn't respond at all. And, basically, Bathilda makes it, like, she won't respond to that. And once they've kind of lit the fire in the room, she points to Harry and points upstairs. And Harry's like, Hermione, I think she just wants me to go upstairs with her. You don't get to come. Maybe Dumbledore told her not to give the sword to me unless I was alone. And Hermione's like, ugh, okay. Fine.
And so Harry follows her up the stairs.
Yep.
It's, like, completely dark. He lights the room. And then Bathilda says, you are Potter.
Yeah.
And he's like, yep. And I don't remember the rest of the conversation.
He says, have you got anything for me? And she doesn't say anything. And he repeats it. And then
all of a sudden his scar starts hurting intensely.
Yep.
And the horcrux that is hanging around his neck in the locket starts freaking out. And Harry's like, And then he hears this voice say, hold him.
Yep.
And Harry's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And he looks away from Bathilda for a moment. And then when he looks back and he turns panicked looking back as she moves weirdly, her skin falls away and out comes a giant snake. Da-da-da, it's Nagini inside an enchanted old woman's skin. It's the creepiest thing that you could think of.
And she couldn't talk in front of Hermione because she could only speak in parcel tongue. Right, but so Harry didn't realize this when he was talking to her upstairs.
Right.
Creepy.
Yeah, so the snake is, like, constricting him, and he can't get his wand. And, I don't remember. Basically, there's just a lot of fighting. Doesn't really matter how it goes. He can't get his wand, but Hermione, like, gets her shit together and is like, hey! And, like, hits the snake with a thing, and then there's the snake trying to grab them, and it's very, very, very bad. And, I'm trying to remember.
Hermione.
They jump
out
the window.
Once
Hermione gets involved and the fight happens,
there's,
like,
a huge fight.
Yep.
Voldemort's, like, on his way. Harry's like, oh, Voldy's on his way. Hermione tries to kill a snake. The snake's, like, fighting them. It's this huge ruckus. Things are getting broken.
And
it's
finally,
bad.
Harry grabs Hermione. And jumps out the window, and they disapparate as they're falling.
Yeah, and Hermione yells a curse back.
Yeah. And so, as he's falling and disapparates, Harry's point of view switches from there to being you-know-who, clinging to the windowsill and watching as these two muggle forms, which he now knows are Harry and Hermione, twisting and disappearing into the dark.
Yeah, and he's a little pissed.
Voldemort has a vision. And then Harry experiences it of the night he killed the Potters. So that, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, how the heck do you emotionally survive seeing your parents' grave, seeing the house you grew up in destroyed by a curse, almost getting eaten by a snake, and then you have to experience the man who killed your parents' memory of that night?
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens to Harry, is basically just...
Yeah, so yeah. We get from Voldemort's point of view where he's, and it's horrifying to read because it's Voldemort, like, walking up and, like, excited about the fact that the Potters don't see him and don't realize that he's there and that the leaves that are falling on the ground have masked his footsteps, and so then he, like, then James sees him and yells to Lily, and Voldemort is like, whatever, you know who, is yeah. like, whatever, they're gonna be dead soon anyway, and,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it's a really,
it's just awful.
And then it goes through him, killing James, and then killing Lily.
Yep.
And then seeing Harry and about to
she says, please not Harry, and he tells her to stand aside, and she says, take me instead, and he kills her, because she won't move. And then,
And then he remembers cursing, sending the curse to, Harry, and then it rebounding, and then I think he says something about, like, oh, that's right, the love thing I oversaw or whatever, but that won't happen again.
I don't think he remembers that. No, not really.
Oh, never mind. I feel like that happens at some point.
No, it doesn't happen here. But basically, yeah.
Yeah, so then Harry pops out of that horrifying experience, and Hermione's like, hey, buddy.
Hey.
How you doing? And Harry's like, I'm an emotional wreck.
Yeah, exactly. And so they recount, like, what's happened, and Hermione's like, yeah, I got you out of there. Snake bit you, so I had to use some Dittany. I had to cut the Horcrux off you, so I used some Dittany on that. And Harry's like, yeah, so Bathilda was the snake, or the snake was Bathilda, and it was really gross. And, anyway, I don't like that. And Hermione's like, okay, why don't you rest for a while? And he's like, no, it's cool. I'm up. I don't really want to sleep anymore because of all the dreams. Where's my wand? I'll keep watch. And there's this long pause, and he's like, Hermione,
where's my wand? And she says, Harry. And he's like, where's my wand?
Yeah.
And she goes, when I cursed the snake, it hit your wand and broke in two. And I tried really hard to repair it, but wand work is tricky, and I don't know. And Harry's like, it's fine. It's whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. She's like, and he's like, well, no, try. And she's like, no, do you remember Ron's wand? And, like, we tried to fix it, and it never got fixed, and you just have to... And Harry's like, how am I ever going to... Ollivander's gone. Grigorovitch is dead. How am I going to get a new wand? And he's just like, okay, well, I'll just use yours for now.
Yeah.
Go have a nap.
Well, and she says reparo to the wand, and it, like, fixes itself. And then Harry, like, tries a spell, and it breaks immediately.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, that's done. And so he puts the two halves of his wand into the pouch, which he's like... This pouch is becoming riddled with things that's just junk to people. Like, it's like this old snitch that I don't even know what to do with.
It's a shard
of glass. Yeah. It had the stupid locket in it, and now it has a broken wand. But they're all things that are really important to him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I'll keep watch with your wand. It won't work as well as mine would have, but you need to sleep.
Yeah. And, so, basically, Hermione's like, hey, well, you know, I just sort of grabbed while I was waiting for, you know, Bathilda to give you the sword or turn into a snake. I just sort of grabbed this and just thought you might want to have it. And it's The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, the biography by Rita Skeeter. And he's like, thanks, I guess. But then he realizes maybe the blonde... kid will be in there, because he feels like he's seen that picture before of the blonde kid who stole the thing from Grigorovitch in the book about Dumbledore. And he flips through and he finds a picture of young Dumbledore and his handsome companion, roaring with laughter at some long-forgotten joke. Harry dropped his eyes to the caption, Albus Dumbledore, shortly after his mother's death, with his friend Gellert Grindelwald. Wait,
what now?
Grindelwald?
His friend? Yeah. Dumbledore was friends with Hitler.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's awkward.
So then basically, so he reads some of the chapter on them, which the chapter is called The Greater Good. And it's basically this giant record of how Gellert Grindelwald rose to power and tried to kill all the muggles and mudbloods. But we find out that actually, after he graduated from his school, which I'm, Darmstrong, he becomes friends with Albus Dumbledore right after Albus's friend, or Albus's mother dies. And the two of them, like, strike up this really strong correspondence, and what?
No.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But Because Grindelwald comes to Godric's Hollow.
Right.
Is he related to Bathilda?
Yeah, I think he's...
He's like a nephew or something, isn't he?
Yes, his great aunt. Oh, just a great aunt.
Okay.
It doesn't say who.
Oh, alright, then never mind.
So then, we get the copy of this letter where basically, here, I'll just read it. This is what,
So Harry's reading this chapter about, Grindelwald and Albus being friends,
Right.
When they're young, which is really super weird because Grindelwald is this dark wizard, who hates muggles. Who hates muggles. And one of the things that everyone knows about Albus Dumbledore is that he defeated Grindelwald. Like, right. That's, like, one of the main facts about him, right. Along with the 15 uses of unicorn blood.
Right. And also that Dumbledore is, like, the champion of muggles and mudbloods.
Yeah.
And muggleborns.
So the fact that they'll be friends is super weird. So, Rita Skeeter writes, as is, like, something about it being clear in Albus's letter to Grindelwald, and it includes the letter, so yep. Emmy, take it away.
Profoundly shocking, though Albus Dumbledore's fans will find it, here are the thoughts of their 17-year-old hero as relayed to his new best friend. Gellert, your point about wizard dominance being for the muggles' own good, this, I think, is the crucial point. Yes, we have been given power, and yes, that power gives us the right to rule, but it also gives us responsibilities over the ruled. We must stress this point. We'll be the foundation stone upon which we build. For where we are opposed, as we surely will be, this will be the basis of all our counter-arguments. We seize control for the greater good. And from this it follows that where we meet resistance, we must use only the force that is necessary and no more. This was your mistake at Durmstrang, but I do not complain, because if you had not been expelled, we would never have met. Albus. So, yeah.
So Harry's like, huh. So, Dumbledore's mother has died, and Albus is supposed to be taking care of his sister and his brother, and instead, he's planning world domination over muggles with his friend, Grindelwald.
Yep.
This is not the Dumbledore I remember.
Nope.
/
Yep. So after 2 months of correspondence like this, suddenly they part. Suddenly, Dumbledore's sister, Ariana,
yep,
the supposed squib, dies. And he and Grindelwald part, never to mate again until their famous duel several years later.
Yeah.
And basically, it's just, and we get the fact that Aberforth, the middle brother, blames Albus for Ariana's death. Grindelwald, you know, disappears, and then... 5 years later, the two of them, like, battle, so what the heck happened? And basically, hey, Dumbledore was a bad guy. He didn't like muggles. Or yeah. Mudbloods. Or muggleborns. So, the ending of the chapter. Is it possible that Ariana Dumbledore was the first person to die, quote, for the greater good, unquote?
So Harry's like, this is not the Dumbledore I remember. This is wrinkling my brain.
Yeah.
As Troy Barnes and Community would say.
The thing that I really find interesting about this chapter is, so it's Harry and Hermione then reviewing this section. And Harry's basically just like, my hero has fallen. I'm done. I'm so furious. I can't believe this. Like, I can't keep losing everything. I've lost Ron. I've lost my wand. Now I'm losing Dumbledore. Like, nothing is trustable anymore. And like, he's clearly awful. And I just don't even, like, I'm so angry. And Hermione, okay, remember, Hermione is muggle-born. Not, like, half-muggle, but full muggle-born. She would have been the first in line in Dumbledore's, like, off this wizard coil shuffle. Shuffle off this wizard coil. That's the word, what I was going for. And she's like, Harry, they were 17. And he's like, no, we're 17 and we're trying to take down Voldemort and they're like planning, or excuse me, take down you-know-who, and they're plotting how to rise over the muggles. And she's like, his mother had just died and he was under all this pressure. She's like, I don't want to hear about it. 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 And basically they just have a lot of like...
Basically Harry's like, I can't believe that I'm the age that Dumbledore was when he was saying all these bad things and I'm out here like doing Dumbledore's work.
Yeah.
And trying to defeat evil wizards. That are trying to oppress muggles and muggleborns yep. when Dumbledore at this age was saying that we should rule over them.
Right. And basically Harry's just like, Dumbledore should have told me about all this, which I think is a little extreme. And is basically just like, Dumbledore should have told me, he never really loved me. And Hermione's like, he totally, he totally loved you, dude. And he's like, no. I don't know who he loved, Hermione, but it was never me. This isn't love the mess he's left me in. He'd shared a damn sight more of what he was really thinking with Gellert Grindelwald than he ever shared with me.
Important. And then... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Nope.
I mean, okay, so you never get anything about Grindelwald at all in the movie. And you don't get this in the book, but J.K. Rowling has admitted to it. Podcast listeners, if you did not know, supposedly, Gellert and Albus, when they were young, were sort of in love.
Well...
Or they at least had
Albus sort of... was in love with Gellert.
Oh, is that the thing?
Yeah, Grindelwald...
Oh, did not return his affections?
Right.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
Oh, extra sad.
Yeah, so Dumbledore...
Dumbledore never knew love. Then.
I think...
Do you think he had a fling later in life?
Well, yeah.
Hello. Hello, I'm Albus Dumbledore.
Right. I think that Dumbledore understood love, and I think he and Grindelwald did love each other, but I think Albus took it in a romantic way, and Grindelwald had it in a friendship way.
Oh, sad. Anyway, fact that you don't get in the book. But so I like this part where Harry says, I'm not sure who he loved, right. But it wasn't me. And, like, there is sort of this, like, yeah, he did love Gellert in a way that he didn't love Harry, but that's romantically.
Mm-hmm.
And as equals. I mean, like, you can't really love a 17-year-old that you're trying to, like, take care of.
Right. Yeah. Which that was, like, one of my friends had a huge issue when it came out that Dumbledore was gay, because she was like, it just makes his and Harry's relationship creepy.
No,
and I was like, no. Because it's not like Dumbledore had romantic feeling towards Harry. He had familial and friendly love for Harry.
No.
And I was like, there's absolutely nothing. No romantic advances. Like, there's nothing
inappropriate.
Everything's
ever.
Above board.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
Ugh.
I didn't like that Dumbledore was gay simply because, like, you never experience it in the book. And so when it was like, no, there's totally a gay character. Dumbledore was gay. And you're like the least sexual character in the whole book. That one is gay. Thanks. Thanks, JK.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? I mean, you can only cram so much into a book.
Well, that's what she was saying, too, is that, like, I saw an interview with her where she was, like, so I think it was, well, it was after, so in the story goes.
Yeah.
In the movies, I don't remember which movie it was, but there was going to be an implication that Dumbledore and McGonagall had a relationship in the past.
Nope.
And J.K. Rowling, scroll in the margin, Dumbledore is gay. And they were like, oh, cut that scene. And so someone would ask her about that. And she was like, well, she's like, as the author, like, I know all of my characters so well. She's like, I know everything about, I know Dumbledore's entire background. I know McGonagall's entire background. Like, I know all of these characters so well. I created them. And she goes, and Dumbledore was always gay in my mind. And she's like, but I just never... She's like, there was never really a place that I felt it was, like prudent to talk about. Like, she was like, there was never a place where it was like, oh, you need to know Dumbledore's gay in order for this plot to move forward. And she was like, and in these Harry Potter books that are so dense, like, it's really hard to just be like, by the way, he was gay. And then, like, plot, 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 plot. So, yeah. So, like, I get that. I don't like, the whole thing of you were saying, like, we had a gay character, look at Dumbledore. Like, no, you guys could have had probably more LGBT good stuff going on, but, whatever.
So.
Are we going into this?
I don't know. I guess it is time to stop.
Well, I mean, it's close, and
what do you think? Should we end with the, like, really dramatic thing?
Yeah.
Because we're into the Forest of Dean now.
Yeah.
I think we should end there.
We'll end there.
All right. Why are you looking at me like that?
No.
All right. So. Harry doesn't sleep well for the next couple nights. He keeps feeling like he hears voices, like, outside the tent calling his name. And he, like...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
He's like, hey, and, like, comes and sits by Hermione while she's reading, A History of Magic, of course.
for, like, the 15th time.
Yeah, and so she's like, hey, can we just separate under the invisibility cloak? I keep thinking I've seen somebody or, like, heard footsteps. And he's like, yeah, sure.
He's like, yeah, yeah.
So they disapparate, they pack up, they go elsewhere, and... when they land, Harry's like, hey, where are we? And Hermione's digging around in her bag, and she's like, we're in the Forest of Dean. It's a muggle-populated thing. I came here with my mom and dad. And he's like, okay, cool.
He's like, it's really beautiful here.
Yep. And so then they
So they're setting set up camp and stuff.
Just kind of hang out.
Yeah. And then Harry takes the watch.
Yep.
And Hermione's in the tent.
Yep.
And then Harry is sitting, and he's kind of drowsy, and he's, like, kind of falling asleep, trying to stay awake. And then all of a sudden, he sees, like, this white, glowy figure. And he's like, hmm. And it gets closer, and he realizes that it's a Patronus, and it's a doe. Female
yep.
deer.
Yep.
Doe, Ray, a deer.
A female deer.
Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name I call myself. Far along the way to run.
You've heard the Choey thing. you've heard the terrible beer rendition of that, right?
Yeah, but let's not disgrace it.
Okay,
with this.
That sounds good. So basically, yeah, he sees a silvery doe
and
come towards him.
A young 17-year-old Carrie, when she was reading this book, was
yeah.
like, "This is bad. Like, this is
gonna
a,
die.
This is, you're gonna die. Like, this is gonna this
it's
is a bad
trick.
Thing.
It's a trick."
Yep. But 17-year-old Harry. Oh, 17-year-old Harry.
Hey, 17-year-old Carrie Harry.
But 17-year-old Harry in the book is like, this is totally, like, I can totally trust this.
Awesome.
It's going to be fine.
Right.
Apparently, I'm more suspicious than he is.
Right.
So,
well, he feels like she's very familiar.
Yeah. He's like,
yeah.
It seems familiar, whatever. So then the doe comes, stares at him, and then, like, starts to walk away.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm following this thing.
Yep.
He gets up, follows it. It
yep.
goes into, or it goes on a lake.
Yep.
And then disappears.
Yep.
And he's like, huh. And so then he goes to the lake, and he... wipes away some snow from the ice.
Yep.
And looks down, and there is the sword of Godric Gryffindor.
Lying at the bottom of a frozen forest lake.
And Harry's like, what?
What?
This is awesome! So Harry's like, well, gotta get the sword.
Yep.
I think he tries it with magic first.
He tries to get Accio, and it doesn't work. And he's like, okay, well, the sword comes to you when I need help. And he's like, well, I need help getting the sword. Help! And the sword just lays there, and he's like, ugh.
And then he's like, damn it, because only a true Gryffindor can get it, and Gryffindors are brave.
Right, set apart by their daring nerve and chivalry. And he's like, well, I don't really know what's chivalrous about this, except I'm not waking up Hermione, but fine. And so,
So Harry strips down?
Yep, strips off until he gets down to his underwear.
And
freezing cold.
Yep, and the Horcrux are on his neck.
Yep.
And he jumps into the water, and immediately the Horcrux starts freaking
yeah.
out.
Well, also, the water is freezing cold. Like, let's remember it's covered in ice.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he survives this, because, like, he'd have hypothermia. We're Midwestern girls, we know this.
It's true.
JK.
Also, if you ever get under ice,
yeah.
go for the dark spot.
Really?
Because, if you're underneath water, ice
yeah.
will be white.
Oh.
And so you need to go to dark.
Interesting, because I totally would have swum for the light.
See, I would have, too.
That's... good to know. Thank when
you.
I'm drowning in the ice, I will.
So
try
if
to
you're drowning
that.
In the ice, just remember being like, "Hey, go to the dark. Swim for the dark.
Don't
Eddie.
Go to the light. I'll remember that. Don't go to the light. This is not my time.
This is not your time. Don't go to the light."
So, so he's freezing to have. I have jumped into a fjord that was like maybe 37 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and it is. It feels like you're being stabbed with knives.
Yeah.
So, it's unpleasant.
Right. So, he's got that going on, plus the Horcrux is freaking out, trying to choke him to death.
Yeah, the Horcrux is... yeah, the Horcrux knows that whatever's gonna kill it is nearby, and it's trying to strangle him.
Yeah, so Harry's pretty much dying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He
can't breathe.
He can't even get to the sword. He
right.
is just trying to get back to the surface, and he can't get there.
And
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he feels... himself being pulled towards
right.
the surface.
He says the arms that closed around his chest were surely death's.
Yeah.
Little dramatic there. Little dramatic there,
easy
Harry Potter.
There. And so then he's dragged to the surface, and all he hears is someone saying, "Are you mental?"
Yep.
And then Harry puts on his glasses and sees that it's Ron.
Ron!
Ron!
Ron,
Ron Weasley! Ron has come back, and, Ron's like, "What the hell are you doing?"
Right.
And Harry's like, "Well, I had to get the sword." And Ron's like, "But still."
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Also, Ron has the Horcrux in one hand and the Gryffindor sword in the other.
Oh, yeah. He's super cool. And so Harry's like, "Wait, so you cast the Doe Patronus?" And Ron's like, "No,
I thought that was your Patronus.
I thought that was yours." And then Harry says, "No, mine's a stag." And then Ron says, "Oh, right, antlers." which, yeah, makes me happy.
Yeah, and Harry's like, "How did you find us?" And Ron's like, "It's a long story."
Yeah.
And then he's like, how did the sword get in the bottom of the pool? And Harry's like, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. It just did. And they're like, okay. And then Harry's like, hey, let's destroy the Horcrux.
Yeah.
And Ron does it. Because mm-hmm. Harry's like, well, you got the sword and stuff. I think you should
mm-hmm.
destroy it. So Harry's like, here's the dealio. I'm going to open the locket using Parseltongue. Because apparently this just comes to Harry's mind.
Right. He's just like, oh, now's the time to use Parseltongue.
Revelation! So then he says, I'm going to open it. And then you stab it. Yep. Like, okay, Ron. And Ron's like, okay, I got this.
Actually, Ron's like, no!
I know, I was giving him more confidence than he has.
Yeah, Ron's like, no, it affects me really badly, and I don't, and Harry's like, that's why you have to kill it. Stay with me, bro.
What? There's a moment in the Foo Fighters documentary that's gonna be, oh. We can move on.
And so Ron's like, okay, I can do it.
Yeah, so Harry does his...
Yeah.
And it opens, and Ron, like, kind of moves forward to stab it, I think, and then these figures shoot out of the Horcrux, and it's, well, is there spiders first?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
First there's just, like, this whispering voice. I have seen your heart, and it, oh, I can do the voice. I have seen your heart, and it is mine.
And Harry's like, don't listen to it, stab it! I'll be Harry.
Least loved always by the mother who craved a daughter. Which is, you know, yeah, he's the sixth son of seven. Least loved now by the girl who prefers your friend. Second best always eternally shadowed.
And Harry's like, Ron, stab it right now!
Yeah. And then two things come out. If you remember the movie, this part is reasonably accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, this part is actually straight up accurate.
Super accurate. Yeah. So two figures come out, and it's Harry and Hermione, and... Hermione's like, why would I pick you over Harry Potter, the chosen one?
Mm-hmm.
And Harry's like, we don't need you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Your mother would have preferred me as a son.
Oh, yeah. Your mother told me she would have preferred me as a son. And, like, saying all these things that obviously are Ron's insecurities.
Right. Exactly.
And meanwhile, real Harry is like, stab it, dude. Yeah. And Ron's, like, kind of freaking out.
Harry and Hermione blobs kiss.
Yep.
As is done in the movie.
Yep. And then...
And Ron stabs it.
And then Ron runs forward and stabs it.
Yep.
And then there's a great shriek, and it's like, meh, and then...
Yeah.
And then the locket just kind of dangles, like, the locket's just done.
Mm-hmm. Ron cries.
Oh, yeah.
Harry pretends not to see
it. And Harry's like, no, it's cool.
And, this is a good part that happens in the book and needed to happen in the movie, directors. Harry puts his hand on Ron's shoulder and says, so, after you left, Hermione cried, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, we didn't talk ever, and she's like my sister. Like, I love her like a sister, and I think she feels the same way about me, and it's not, it's, that's how the way it's always been, the way it's always gonna be, and I thought you knew that. And Ron's like, okay. Thanks.
So...
And he's like, I'm sorry I left. And Harry is like, yeah, well, you know, you got the Horcrux, you saved my life. You just got the sword, you killed the Horcrux. And Ron's like, yeah, cool, let's go find the tent.
I kind of want to leave it there.
Yeah.
So, how did Ron find Harry and Hermione? And why, how did the sword get to the lake?
Who cast a Patronus? Nobody knows. Fine. What's Hermione's reaction gonna be to the return of Ronald Bilious Weasley? Find out next time on Carrie and Emmy Harry Potter to the best of their abilities. Harry Potter in the Final Hours, Book the Seventh, Part the Three.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.